Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge. Take in the laughs. Indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I for immature audiences only.
Here at the Now We Consume podcast, we encourage you to do something new each day that scares you in an effort to promote self-growth. Text someone you like first. Ask your crush to hang out. Purposefully irritate a wild raccoon. Fuck a cactus. The sky really is the limit, and the only one stopping you is yourself. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Pip. Here, as always, with my co-hosts, who by now should be questioning ever hanging out with me in public again, Gibbs and Gibbles.
Ew.
The amount of ER departments you are getting them to be clearly underfunded with your bullshit that you say. Because there's going to be someone that's like, you know what? I'll give it a try. Why not? You know? No.
Have you not ever seen the cactuses out there, though?
Do you know what's stopping most people? It's not them. I believe it's the cactus with the spikes. I believe that's what's doing it.
What? I'm sorry. I beg your pardon, but could you repeat that sentence, please? I want to make sure I didn't hear that properly.
The cactuses?
Okay, so I did hear that.
Right. Oh, yeah, I was trying to ignore it. I was really trying to ignore it.
Good episode.
I'm out.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next week. Cue the outro music.
Wow.
Yeesh. Oh.
Good Lord. How aggressively single do you have to be thinking about that?
Right.
That's
you know, forget the robots. Just happens. Go straight to the pain. Anything is a glory hole.
Friends.
Anything is a glory hole if you're brave enough. If you've seen the pipe full of hornets, that is a glory hole if you're brave enough.
There is no glory in that hole, I will tell you. No Klingon will take you up on that one. That day is not a good day to die. Let me tell you, that is not the way to do it.
Orph is looking at that going, I don't think so, Bobby.
Oh,
man.
Tonight's show, we are going to take a nosedive straight into the anus of reality and try to figure out, is this real life? Which by now you should be asking, what the hell are you doing listening to this show? Just take a moment and look around you. Feel the chair you're sitting on, the shirt you're wearing, the balls hanging between your legs, even the sound of my voice. Everything seems perfectly, undeniably real. But what if I told you that there's a serious, respected philosophical and scientific idea suggesting that this entire reality, every moment, every experience, every law of physics is nothing more than an incredibly sophisticated computer program. A digital construct running on hardware we can't even imagine. So tonight, we're going to figure out, if we can, if this is a mind-bending concept that is real, known as simulation theory. And Gibbs, you're already giving me some faces.
Wouldn't that mean the whole concept of Buddhism means nothing more than a respawn?
Essentially, yes. The long and short of this episode is that Buddhism is right and we just respawn when we die. So you can stop listening.
I am in version, I don't know, probably 230 because I don't seem to make it very far each time. So
right, yeah. You're that one-handed kid that can't figure out how to hold the controller right and you just keep falling off the first jump. So
give me a Super Nintendo controls for The Lion King. Oh man, I got that like tism.
Dude, The Lion King was no fucking joke. You know, they made that game purposefully hard so that people would have to keep renting it back in the days of rental.
Because that's right.
It was designed to not be beaten in a single rental period. How fucked up is that?
That is peak American capitalism right there. Mm-hmm. That was the peak of our civilization.
Yes.
Oh, which Ninja Turtle game they set up where you couldn't even beat it?
That was the first
one. It literally had no ending because you couldn't get past one part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the damn part. I fucking hated that one.
No, not that part. There was another one where it was literally the jump was just too far no matter how you jumped.
I got you.
And it was to get to a platform to get to a door, but you could never get to the door because of the fact the platform was just a bit too far. Because anything past that, there was nothing.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't remember why they did that, but they did.
Yeah. So what is simulation theory? At its core, simulation theory suggests that our current existence is nothing more than a vast simulated reality, likely created by a highly advanced post-human civilization. If you've ever played that game, The Sims, that's basically what we are, possibly. The most famous and compelling framework for this idea comes from Oxford philosopher Nick Bostrom and his 2003 paper, Are You Living in a Computer Simulation? We'll go further in depth about in his paper here in a little bit, but in his paper, he argues that one of three propositions must be true. Either civilizations almost always go extinct before they reach a post-human stage capable of running simulations, or any post-human civilization that does reach that stage is, for some reason, not interested in running a large number of detailed historical simulations. We call these ancestor simulations. Or finally, we are almost certainly living in a computer simulation. I don't know about you, but one out of those three, that's not a very comforting position to be in. He also suggests that since a post-human civilization would have access to nearly infinite computing power, they could run billions of these ancestor simulations, meaning the number of simulated inhabitants would vastly outweigh the number of real or base reality inhabitants. And if that's the case, statistically speaking, the odds are overwhelmingly in favor of us being in one of the simulated ones.
All I can say is I feel ripped off.
Right? This is not the simulation. However, if you go back to our time travel episode, this kind of jives with the whole multiverse theory.
Yeah.
It's not multiverse, it's multi-simulation.
So the Watcher is just sitting outside all the VM?
Yes.
Okay. You can't. I guess. You know, sure. Technically, you can.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe call me crazy, but...
Crazy.
You would then have to thank you. You'd have to disprove the idea of free will and free thought to be able to prove that exists.
Correct.
Because I would very much doubt that even with technically infinite resources, I don't really know if it would be possible to be able to create something that's complex enough to be able to look at every piece of matter, every molecule, every atom, and mathematically be able to combine, figure out, calculate, and then plus the quintillions of biological organisms and everything else that are not biological technically in that, but they all interact.
We'll touch on that.
That would be okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
So, Gibbles, did you have a point?
You could do that the same way they do that in video games. If you're not looking at it, it doesn't exist. It's not simulated. There's nothing there until you turn around and then all of a sudden, hey, look, that's going on. You can do the same thing. You don't have to worry about atoms if you're not specifically looking at the atoms. You know they're there. The data knows it's there, but you don't have to computate for it if you're not specifically looking at it. I mean, honestly.
You do have to computate for gravity, which unfortunately affects basically everything in the universe. So that is the problem of like the mass of those objects, therefore dictates that the gravitational forces and field. Therefore,
well,
that all kind of interacts. So
that's only if gravity is real. Otherwise, right. It just is. So
well, I mean, it's observable, so it would have to be real.
Again, we'll touch on a lot of this.
Okay.
Here's kind of an overarching concept for simulation theory. Okay. Video game logic and movie logic.
Mm-hmm.
Things just are the way they are because that's the way they have to be.
Ah, the old "it is what it is" mantra.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
So, we'll circle back to that here in a little while. So the biggest points. Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh no, I was going to ask something stupid, but I can wait.
Go ahead. Shoot.
Ah, I was going to say, what's the red herring for life?
Oh. Save that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, save that one. And if I haven't answered that one by the end of the episode, then ask it again.
Okay.
So the biggest points for the theory. How can people actually take this seriously? So the arguments for the simulation hypothesis are often kind of pointing to specific features of the universe. The universe is quantized. Everything in our universe seems to break down into discrete fundamental units. The Planck length and Planck time, it's exactly how a digital program works. It's built on individual distinct pixels or bits, not continuous smooth analog waves. And it looks a lot like a low-level resolution boundary, which kind of like what you were talking about. Everything, not everything is rendered as it needs to be. Physics is governed by code. Like I was saying, everything is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Our universe is described by elegant mathematical laws and constants, like E equals MC squared, the speed of light, the gravitational constant. These constants act like the source code or the fixed rules of the program and can never be broken. The Fermi paradox and a little bit of fine-tuning here and there. So the apparent absence of observable alien life via the Fermi paradox could be explained if the simulation is only focused on a specific area, such as our solar system, to save computational power. So, if you fine-tune the universal constants, where if they were slightly different, life wouldn't exist, looks suspiciously like an initialization parameter set up before the simulation started. So that's what you were asking about with life, I think. Yes? No?
I don't like where you're going with that. I don't like that it makes sense. That's why I don't like this.
I know. Now, I can maybe...
Would that be why when they look out with the James Webb telescope that they're starting to find some weird shit because they didn't computationally put that into account?
Right. So
you're also looking back in time too.
Well, theoretically, if the simulation is real, then no, we're not.
Yeah.
Time doesn't exist beyond the heliopause, which is the outermost point of our solar system in the simulation. Beyond that, it's just generated light, like a light curtain around everything.
But don't we already have an object that's brain. About to cross out of our solar system?
It's already crossed.
Do we?
Did it yet?
Well, we did launch the Voyager probes. Those were real. They did go into space.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they said the one crossed the heliopause already.
Yeah.
Or not already, but it has. Like, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, and yes, it is in interstellar space now. However, we have no way beyond the radio signals that we receive of knowing anything about it. So who's to say that thing's not just out of existence, and the data is now being simulated.
I don't like where this is going.
A little bit of data like that would not be difficult to simulate.
It made my brain melt.
You're welcome.
I see.
Now, let's massage the sausage a little bit. The biggest points against the theory. Computational limits. The amount of computing power required to simulate every particle, all the quantum entanglement, and every conscious mind in a universe the size of ours is so immense that it may be fundamentally impossible even for a post-human civilization. So, like you were saying, there's no way to process that amount of thought, essentially. Now, the counter to that is, yeah, what if we're only processing a little bit? A quick segue, sleep. You ever have those nights where you just can't sleep? Like you're dead tired, you're tossing and turning. Mm. What if it's because the sleep servers are full? And you're not allowed to log into the sleep server and out of the simulation until other people log out of the sleep server.
Oh my God.
There's one for you.
That's horrifying.
Well, to the people that keep hogging it, get the fuck out.
Right?
I'm sick of it. I need
my beauty
move
sleep.
Move on. Get your red pill going. Let's go. Get back in there. Oh my God.
Yeah. I thought that would cook you a little bit. The simpler explanation.
Pissed with people would be go to sleep and there's a freaking queue that just like World of Warcraft back in the day.
Oh God. Or Battlefield.
5,000 in line. Right.
Battlefield type queues for sleep. Oh my God.
Wait until Neuralink where there's going to be a queue for your dreams.
Ugh.
You fucking wait.
So since you brought up dream stuff, I do want to mention we have an episode that we're cooking up talking about dream. We have two episodes actually about dream stuff. One is parallel universe dream theory, and the other is sleep rehab. So I just want to kind of put those two little nuggets out there. They're going to be pretty awesome, I think. Especially the sleep rehab. That one's terrifying, to be honest. Like it's up there with like AI. So some of the AI stuff we've talked about. It's scary as shit, dude.
Well, you know that they're getting to where the AI is able to interpret brainwave, you know, during sleep to figure out what it is that people are dreaming about.
Uh-huh.
Just like they're able to show that two people can communicate or send messages back and forth while they're dreaming.
In the dreams, yes. They have successfully transmitted data via dreams to two people in different rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what I'm hearing is Bluetooth and or Wi-Fi is actually biological in nature.
Basically, that's what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty close analogy.
So,
well then, whoever's the person in the dreams that keeps making it so I can only run at the pace of a goddamn snail, could they stop,
please? Or whoever keeps making my guns jam, yeah, stop that shit. I hate that.
Yeah, that's or the worst one I had is I forgot how to use it.
Oh God.
That really frustrated me.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is this? And I'm dead. Great. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Great dream. Great dream.
All right. So we'll get into those episodes and they're gonna be hopefully pretty good. So back on this. Simpler explanation for everything is that critics argue this is a classic case of an unprovable complex explanation. The most likely reason our universe has mathematical laws is because that's simply the nature of reality. Why invent a simulator outside of our reality when the observed reality itself is the simplest explanation? It's more of a philosophical thought experiment than a testable scientific hypothesis, which, yeah, there's really no way to test if this is a simulation, or is there?
Well,
there's some bullshit happening, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. The recursive problem is the simception issue. So if we are in a simulation, what about the people who created our simulation? Are they also in a simulation? And this leads to the infinite regress, which makes the whole idea unsatisfyingly complex. If you ever saw that episode of Rick and Morty where they went into the battery world.
Or the miniverse.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was a good one.
Then the teeny-verse and then the microverse or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So are we just inside some dude's battery?
No, because we don't have any Flugelpops or whatever they were called.
Right.
That's true.
What was
true.
It called? The,
Whoa.
Whoa. How was that happening?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know where that came from.
That was weird. Anyways. that startled me.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, I just had that thought. What? Where else is it coming from?
Thanks, Twitch.
Yeah, I made a note of that to edit, if you want to edit that out.
But
so the simulation theory forces everybody to confront the very nature of existence if you take the time to really go down that rabbit hole. It can be a profound truth or just an engaging thought experiment. Its implications are massive. And as we go further into the episode tonight, we're going to break down some of the notes and evidence that have been used by some of the more prominent people that have talked about this and researched it, and kind of explore what it might mean to be a living, breathing line of code. That's kind of a weird thought, you know? Like, I've come to terms that we're just biological blobs, but being a line of code is a whole different thing.
Like you're more than a line of code, you're many lines of code.
Yeah, but The Matrix, when it came out, was pretty revolutionary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, are we just batteries? But then it goes a step further. Are we just code? So, now I pulled up a reference on that simulation theory paper. I'll be honest. I'm a pretty smart guy most days. Some of this shit's way over my head.
Oh, you didn't lick it in the dark.
I didn't. Okay. I didn't let it dock
it's
with
that
me.
Bad.
Yeah, I didn't let it dock with me. I'll go over one of the AI breakdowns of it. Mr. Bostrom does not claim to know which proposition is true. He suggests apportioning belief roughly evenly among the three. I guess that's the safe way out.
Oh, yeah.
He also notes that if we are not currently living in a simulation, it is highly likely that our descendants will never run one, because one of the first two scenarios would have prevented it. The scenarios were, again, post-human stage, ancestor simulations, or statistical probability. So that's if you're interested, you can just look up Nick Bostrom 2003 simulation theory.
Oh no, that sounds like a challenge, and usually people that hear a challenge, especially Americans, we got it.
Look at the robots they're bringing out.
Mm-hmm. I know some of it's AI slop, but some of it...
Oh yeah, a lot of it is.
Scary looking.
Some of the one the guy was fighting with, just to prove that it was a real robot, man.
Yeah.
Them things are going to fuck our world up.
Yeah, unless you have a shotgun. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You're going to need slugs, buddy.
Hell yeah. Would you need anything less?
Right. So there are some things we can look at to kind of discuss why scientists take this seriously. Mm-hmm. We mentioned in the intro quantum mechanics. So you've got the observer effect. When wave functions start to collapse, that's a really weird one. And there have been some very weird experiments that show the observer effect actually travels through time. Because if you perform the observer effect experiment on light from a distant galaxy, you get the same kind of outcome as you get from light here on Earth.
So I think you should probably explain to the audience what the observer effect is.
So the observer effect is when you have particles of light going through a double slit. And in one, when it's not being watched, it acts like a wave. When it is being watched, it acts like particles. And there are videos that you can go and look at to kind of get a better breakdown than this. But this is like quantum reality kind of shit, where if you move the camera past the slit where the change would have already occurred, the observation will still change what happened before the slit. So it's literal, like, changing time on the particle or the light at that moment. And that's proving like a quantum entangled change. So they started doing this experiment with light from distant galaxies and other stars, and they're getting the same result, which means that after that light passes through the slit and then it's observed, it's changed on a quantum wavelength from before it was emitted. So that's something that really kind of fucks with the fundamental laws of physics.
That I've always thought is probably one of the most convincing points for simulation theory, because it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No.
The fact that you just look at something and observe it can change the outcome.
Yep.
That like I said, mind blown.
Yep. The fine tuning of constants. Did you guys know that if gravity were only 1% stronger or 1% weaker, we would have no stars?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
In the universe.
Yep. Hmm.
So it's at a very oddly specific number for all of this to be able to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So.
On odd numbers.
This is one of those coincidence kind of things.
Yeah. On odd numbers. The Earth and the Sun and the Moon. That is a trio that is very weird. The moon is exactly 400 times smaller than the sun. And it's exactly 400 times as far away from, I don't know, the number 400, I'm getting all fucked up.
So basically the universe is like me, where I like even numbers and I hate odd numbers.
Yeah, it is entirely too perfect.
So the universe is autistic?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
But the size and the position of the sun, the moon, and the earth are too perfect and are the only reason that life can flourish on Earth the way that it does.
But also, to be fair, when you have literal trillions of planets to choose from, there's going to be something where it'll work, you know?
Right. But that also brings up Fermi's paradox of where the hell is everybody else? Because there's a lot of fucking planets out there that we've seen just in our little sphere of influence. So
that is true.
The Planck length and the pixelation of space-time. The farther back in time you go, when you're looking at objects in the universe, the more distorted they seem to be.
So do light waves degrade?
Not that we've been able to prove. Light is light is light, no matter what.
But
because the photon has no mass.
Correct.
So, I mean, technically, unless it's affected by gravity in some way, I can't imagine that it's going to degrade in any way.
Well, doesn't it still have to pass through a medium, though?
The vacuum of space really is no medium.
But if those dark matter theories hold true,
well, yeah,
on something like that, you know what I mean? Because it has to travel long distances.
The vacuum of space being empty is technically incorrect if you look at the theory of the ether from back at the turn of the 20th century.
Oh,
because they were looking at, or they actually considered the ether to be another element. Or a state of matter, because Nikola Tesla was using his inventions to tie into the zero-point field to generate power and pull power out of literal nothing. And that's how we'll discuss this in another episode when we talk about the power inventions that got their creators killed.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, you want to hear something funny, though? Always. We're talking about dark matter. Japanese astrophysicist Tomonori Otani, excuse my pronunciation of that.
Butchered.
I probably butchered it. From the University of Tokyo, recently announced a potential breakthrough in dark matter research, claiming to find the first direct evidence of dark matter annihilation via a distinct gamma ray glow near the Milky Way center using NASA's Fermi telescope data. This is recent. I think this came out about a month ago, maybe two. Because I remember hearing about this, and then you talking about dark matter made me go, oh, yeah.
Light bulb. Well, that's kind of cool.
So because that's something that I had somebody on some sort of a podcast I was watching explain a while ago was, at least for the light thing, there is the possibility that whatever medium it's passing through, which in that case would be dark matter, or could be dark matter or something else, that could distort it. But my question to you is the distortion, does it follow a pattern or is it randomized?
I don't have the answer to that.
Okay.
So. Well, yeah.
So.
You know who does have the answer? The person running the simulation.
That's true.
Thank you. Nostradamus, truly.
If we all just yell out tech support real loud. Maybe we'll get their attention.
Mm.
So, computational limits of the universe. This is called the Bekenstein bound holographic principle. So, the rest of the universe beyond a certain point is just a holographic projection, theoretically. Mm. So, that's also why things look distorted past a certain point. I mean, if you look at pictures,
fly a ship though,
right? Like, that's gonna hurt for the people on board when they crash into the boundary when they hit warp speed.
Do you just bounce? God!
Like, will it bounce? You know, fucking mock.
Or will it be? I don't know. I almost look at it as, wouldn't it just be more like what Elite Dangerous does, where eventually you leave the galaxy, and there's just nothing.
So
maybe.
Something else I heard someone say was that technically it might be the case of maybe our laws of physics are only bound by the creation of this universe, and it's in that bubble or sphere where that works, and the minute you step out of it, your existence and your set of physics that you're used to being in no longer exists. And so we'll never know what happens, but you might just pop out of existence or might be brought back down to molecules, who knows?
There's also the suggestion that our entire reality exists inside of a black hole.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah.
There's that, too.
And every black hole is like the start of a new universe.
Yep. Mm. So there's a lot of fuckery going on.
It's a lot of fuck around and find out.
Yeah. So, and then the last one that I wanted to bring up was, there have been a lot of recent papers, like 2024 had one called The Constraints on Is the Universe Simulatable? And that just talks about a lot of different things because they bring up a lot of even games that you were talking about, like Elite Dangerous, No Man's Sky, EVE Online. Yeah. They have brought up the amount of games that we have used to simulate entire universes with just the computational power we have today.
Right.
And it's really not that big of a stretch to say, hey, is there sentient life somewhere within these worlds that we just can't detect?
I mean, again, it wouldn't be that difficult when a lot of it's set up to where if the player isn't looking at it, it's in the database, but yet at the same time, the computational power of that is reduced because you're not looking at it. So you don't need the graphics. You don't need audio, really. You don't need a lot of that stuff. So it's known it's there, but yet it's not there because from a computer standpoint, That would be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But then the problem is having every object pop in and out of existence for, at the minimum, the billions of humans, if not quintillions of animals and other biological organisms. Holy hell. Mm-hmm. Especially being able to do that with a latency of 0.00000000000001 milliseconds to be able to make that happen without any sort of noticeable lag.
Yeah. Like, but that goes into the whole, you know, how many of us are not NPCs and how many of us are.
Yeah, and you brought up NPCs. There's a note on that. So let's kind of get into some of this. The pop culture and fun arguments. So every major movie and TV show that has talked about, well, not every, but some of the bigger ones. You've got The Matrix, Rick and Morty, the Battery episode, like we talked about. Westworld has even gone down that hole. The video game analogies, like everything from GTA 5, No Man's Sky. They're doing procedurally generated universes. So you don't have to render everything, just whatever is around other people. And then it's just background noise. Why did you
write Pong?
That was what it had copied down. I don't know why they had Pong. But the transition from Pong to GTA 5, I think, is maybe what they talked about.
Okay.
We started off in just
a leap.
Yeah. Pong world. I don't know.
Pong world.
Now, the DMT glitch. This is one that I wanted to bring up because it kind of threw me for a loop when I read about it. And I've seen videos on this shit too. Many people report being able to take DMT or other psychedelic drugs, setting up a broad beam laser that's projected onto a wall, getting up close to the beam.
Real quick, for a broad beam laser, what are we talking about there fast?
A laser that has been diffused to act more like a flashlight than a beam.
Okay.
So the beam that's been projecting on a wall, getting up close to the beam, and being able to see code. It's often described as similar to the Matrix code glyphs, but it varies from person to person. But they always report seeing code. And this happens to people with no prior knowledge of the code or the experience. They're given the drugs and the setup and asked what they see when they get close. They almost all report the same thing. Gibbs?
I hope we never get a blue screen.
Right?
Is this something we can test?
If you know how to get a hold of some DMT, sure.
No fucking idea.
I will definitely volunteer for the experiment.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, if we can get a hold of some psychedelics, maybe we give that one a shot, because that would be kind of weird. People imagine have actually. One. Oh yeah. Oh god.
The live.
A live show.
I'll be sitting there.
The slow descent.
Squiggle Mart. Squiggle Mart.
So aside from seeing code in physical structures, scientists have found what appears to be code in the stars. Astronomers are seeing what appears to be binary code that resembles error correction code that's used in computer systems to detect and fix errors in superstructures in space, such as galaxies and nebulas and the likes. This was discovered and reported by theoretical physicist James Gates, and he has been interviewed by Neil deGrasse Tyson and has gone in depth to describe what he sees as resembling, not actually being, but resembling binary code that, when processed in our computer systems, acts like error correcting code in our systems. Now, how fucked up is that?
I have no words for it. Like, there's no...
That just takes me back to the episode of Futurama where Bender was floating out in space and met Galaxy God. So...
Oh, that would be kind of funny if planets, like, our stars colliding is not supposed to happen. So the local server RAM does like an error correction. Right. It's like, wait a minute, those two objects are not supposed to collide. They're supposed to be permanent. What the hell?
Oh my God, I don't have enough alcohol for this.
Yeah. So you've got people who are looking for glitches, like actively. And they quote the Mandela effect as being one of the biggest and best references to being glitches in the code. You know, the Monopoly guy monocle, the Berenstain Bears versus Berenstain Bears, all the different shit.
Fruit of the Loom, Mandela? Cornucopia.
The cornucopia, yeah. That had it.
That is the fucking thing that radicalized me on this shit. I hate to say it. The goddamn cornucopia drove me nuts for like a week.
Yep.
But it really did.
Yeah.
I do remember when I was little, I saw the cornucopia. Yeah. I really do remember that.
Oh, so
Then when they showed that it wasn't there, I'm like, wait, it was there.
No, it was there.
New timeline issue update. There is no cow tipping in this timeline.
The fuck do you mean there's no cow tipping?
Yeah, apparently cow tipping was never a thing in this timeline.
It was.
Since when?
Since recently.
Yes, it has.
There's we all remember where there's cow tipping in.
Go
it.
Fucking look it up.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, this is another psyop from the CIA.
Possibly.
No way.
Yeah. I think a lot of that's fucking just trying to mess with people with social engineering.
Maybe. But I just saw a thing the other day.
Is urban legend a myth now? Since when?
Exactly. Welcome to the new timeline, guys. We shifted again.
I don't like that I don't get patch notes.
I know.
Like, I
think they come in our dreams, and we just see the weirdness and brush it off.
If they're coming in my dreams, could they at least clean up after?
Right.
Sorry. I know, that was bad. Sorry.
another glitch that they report, deja vu and lag spawn delay. That's...
Yeah.
Deja vu is the lag spawn. If you've ever had deja vu that's hit so hard that you could predict what was going to happen, like that's like real bad lag, or even a reload, that's a possibility.
Although to be fair though, I do feel like deja vu is almost more akin to, you know how like when some animals are born and they will learn from their previous generation, like on how to do things. I feel like humans, while we're not good at that, there are some inherent things that are sometimes passed down.
Yeah. There are some behavior traits, but we as humans are deathly helpless as babies.
Oh, God, yeah.
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 We're the only mammal on Earth that is helpless.
Yet we can learn a language like it's nothing at that age.
So can certain apes, though. Certain apes are getting there. I've seen someone teach their dog how to talk and had a fucking existential crisis.
Yeah. Yep.
My sister has done that with her dog, this Pity, and he will press the buttons and knows which one does what. And while we're all visiting, all of a sudden he starts hitting the I want to play button.
Nice.
He gets all excited like, somebody going to play with me now.
I should get Carly those buttons and set them up. Gibbs, ear. Gibbs, ear.
No. No.
That's amazing.
I'm good.
No.
Things like phantom phone vibrations in your leg, like when your phone is sitting on your desk and you feel it vibrating in your leg, they consider that to be possible packet loss.
So am I the only person that I will know before I'm getting a phone call or a text, and I'll go, and I'll pick up my phone, and then I receive the fucking call or text? That fucking weirds me out.
Now, what about this?
I do that with work.
Yeah. What about this? When you have a random idea for something you have never, ever searched before, and you pick up your phone and type in the first letter, and there's the result. There is no way your phone could have known that you had that random Zoidberg thought, and yet there was the search result.
Yeah.
It's NPC. Saying through your brain while you're singing, while you're sleeping.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's like a siren. That's like the old...
I've literally had instances where I'm sitting at work, got nothing to do, and all of a sudden I'm just like, this particular customer out in Ohio I haven't heard from them in a while, and I think something's broke. And not even 10 minutes later, I'm getting an email saying, hey, this customer's called in. You need to respond to Ohio.
Yep. Yeah. NPC behavior in crowds.
Yes.
Oh, God.
We have all seen those people. I encounter them daily. Yeah. It never fails
I've dealt with them too.
You drive out in town, the town looks dead. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they just spawn in.
Yep.
It's like, what the fuck? Where'd everybody come from? And nothing explains it. It's just, they're there.
Yep.
Back in 2012, there was a Facebook story called Dead People Posting Bug. People's accounts were posting long after they had died. It was a real thing. It was a bug from Facebook.
But
I don't remember what happened, but you guys can look it up. It's a real story.
Yeah. I've heard about that, but I've never actually seen
They were confirmed to be not automated posts that were set to go out. Because you can set posts to go out at certain dates. This was before that was a thing.
Yeah.
So, some counter arguments that you can use. Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is that we are in fact in base reality. You could ask, if we're simulated, why is there so much suffering? It could just be lazy programming, sadistic programming, or this is multiplayer.
Yeah.
And then you have the self-shutdown problem. If advanced civilizations would notice that this is a simulation, would we be shut down? If we discovered that we are, in fact, in a simulation, would we be shut down?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think it changes anything, because people will still keep living.
Would they?
Yeah.
Because right here, this segues right into this, the practical implications.
Well, you run into the issue of, you know, you have a lot of religious people that they would look at this and be like, oh, it flies in the face of our religion and we believe in God, so.
But then wouldn't God just be the programmer?
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, yeah, but at the same time, it doesn't fit the.
It wouldn't matter, because if this is a simulation, there would, in fact, be no God beyond the programmer. The God of the belief system prior to finding out that this is a simulation would have just been programmed in.
You're assuming that AI is a control in the simulation. you are making the bold assumption that it's another biological organism controlling it.
Yes. So,
right.
Number one. Number two, there could possibly be a non, like, even let's just say it was a simulation, it doesn't mean that only things in binary can interface with it. So there's still be the possibility you could make your own quote unquote God within the simulation that really could just be either rogue agents, rogue AI, something to that effect. You know, even just a simple testing algorithm, you know, or testing, you know, division in order to test certain responses, you know, behavioral adaptation, things like that. It could be anything. It could be the case, if I hate to say it. Most religions could just be like, hey, let's test what happens when people do this. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be a sick joke?
Excuse me. Yeah, that'd be fucked up.
We're simulated for some hot dog commercial.
And the AI said, let's resurrect this bitch after 3 days locked in a cave. Let's see what they do.
And on the alien commercial, it's something about, oh, he came back in 3 days. You too can buy yeast. They'll bring your bread back in 3 days.
Yeah, but who's the asshole AI that is abducting people to anally probe them? That's the problem. That is an AI that had to be human coded at some point. Because are in a simulation and they have all these guys complaining about that, either one, there's a lot of secretly gay people out in the Midwest that are farmers out in the middle of nowhere, or option two, there's an AI that has a butt fetish. I don't know.
Or it's multiplayer and you've got someone that's just out fucking around.
Yeah.
Trying to see what kind of fucked up shit they can get away with.
somebody said PvP is enabled. I'm going to test the limits. And that's, yep. That's the problem.
Oh, man.
So, and that kind of brings us into ethics. If NPCs have feelings, is anything impermissible? If they're just NPCs, they're not real, so...
But real is subjective.
Maybe, hear me out on this one. Maybe the NPCs are the only ones being targeted and killed by the murderers.
All right, now you lost me. Now you...
Why?
Because have we not known anybody that's died?
Not to
now we're starting to go down that.
I have.
Now we're starting to go down that lane of.
Or let's flip that one. Maybe only the NPCs are murderers.
Again, it depends. Because, like, to murder beyond the exception, doesn't mean you have to be a person or not a person to murder. It doesn't take any sort of justification necessarily.
Yeah.
So, like, it could be a machine. It could not be a machine. Because
would that be for any crime taking place then?
Maybe. I'm just saying, like, some of the big ones. Like, the big famous ones. Gain, Bundy, Dahmer, you know, those guys.
I was going to say, if World War II was caused by an AI, he's a dick. Right. Jesus Christ.
Then, I mean, if AI is the one controlling all the pedos, man, I really ain't going to feel bad here in a little bit.
Jesus. Yeah. Hunting season's on.
Right.
Get the squid bots out.
Oh, Jesus.
So.
What? So I guess your topic of if NPCs have feelings is anything impermissible. We're going to find out with the robots soon.
Yes, very. And I'm glad you brought that up, because with all the robot stuff coming out, especially, I know I've brought it up mostly in joking, but the sex bots, those are going to be the ones that are going to test the limits of boundaries with robots and AI personalities.
Well, they've already passed some laws in certain countries where if they're doing the adult toys like that, you are not permitted to get them in, like, the where they're considered, they look like they're underage.
Right.
They've already had that incident take place where somebody, I guess, ordered, like,
now,
a child doll.
I can 100% see a black market popping up with modifications for that bullshit.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Unfortunately.
I mean, to be fair, if they're doing that versus, like, actual people,
I guess let them go at it.
I guess.
I would prefer.
Also, the problem is it opens the gateway to get to that point, so it's kind of the weird catch 22.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, are you preventing it or are you enabling it? Then the problem is now we're back to the 1970s and 80s, you know, drug debate. Same thing. It'll just be that with sex bots. That's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Well, then you're going to have the whole, like, in the game, Detroit Become Human.
Mm.
You know, spoilers for anybody who hasn't played this game, but, you know, I played the snot out of it. You find out later in the game that the little girl that's in this abusive father's house actually isn't human. She's a robot.
Oh, wow.
Or an android. And you don't find out until a little bit later in the game when you, you know, the android you're controlling, who gets brought into the home as, like, you know, a maid slash nanny kind of thing. You escape, and then it comes out later that she's actually a robot as well.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, okay, so why did this abusive guy have the little girl then? It's like, what kind of situation did he put himself in where he needed to have the little girl?
Yeah, that's a thing. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, and the crazy part is the way that house was set up in the game. I'm not sure what the devs were thinking, but I mean, it looked to me like when I first started playing, like it was just a normal little girl's bedroom, and her father was a dick. it wasn't until you leave the house and you find out later, oh, she's a robot, to make me go back and go, what the frickin' hell? Why was it set up that way then?
Yeah.
Why? Where in life do you get where you're not after sexual gratification? Instead, you're looking as control and emotional gratification.
Trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of that going on with the different types of robots coming out, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of, like, subservient type hitting the markets, and people will get them just to control a person, you know, air quotes.
Yeah.
So.
It's just, like I said, from that game's perspective, with the way it played everything, it was interesting, and just that particular point just made me go, huh.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of weird shit's going to happen when that stuff gets more prevalent, that's for sure.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to be on watch lists really fucking quickly.
Probably.
Let me tell you. I hope to God they're actively monitoring these places where people buy them, because you're just like, yep, you're going to be investigated next week. Yep, you're going to be looked at next week. I hate that it's going to be like government overreach in a lot of ways. But boy, a lot of people are going to out themselves without realizing it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because a lot of us probably are already on watch lists of some type or another. But
yeah, damn. Not for that reason. Thank God.
No. Thankfully. So.
Mine's more if we don't want you to talk too much.
Yeah.
My bad.
Mine's more because I responded to something that the police in England said on Facebook, and I got a notification. So technically, if I go to England, I might get arrested. I don't know.
Nice. So. Oh, I actually went on their police website and said, bring it on, bitches. So I already know, don't leave the U.S.
Yep. Don't go to England.
Said, oh, you're arresting Americans for what we have free speech for? Suck my nuts.
Yep. So, back on topic here, life hack implications. Is there a way to cheat code reality? Does that mean we can just go up, up, down, down, left, right, ABA, select, start, and just keep living forever?
Oh my God, I wish that would be a thing. I would totally bring magic into reality.
Gibbs has no idea what that is.
So here's.
I'd be the first one to do Fireball.
We have no idea. First of all, fuck you. I played the shit out of GTA growing up. So fuck you.
GTA?
Are you
that's the Contra code.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, that's totally Contra, man.
Sorry.
Good Lord.
That was like our time frame, and you're...
That's true.
Really? GTA?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the games, at least I could think of, that like really, really, really did a mass adoption of the cheat codes, at least in my generation anyway.
Right.
I mean... Fuck, I had people looking them up online where to find stuff, where to get things. Like, we used to print them out for each other, be like, oh, this website had this cheat code on this one. And like, there's this different one. Try this one out. But, you know,
I'm a little younger. We actually had devices that you would take the Nintendo cartridge into, the Game Genie.
Yeah.
And you plug it into the console, and you had codes in a book.
Uh-huh.
Oh, see, I never got to try any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome.
Or
I had one for the Super Nintendo.
I had one for the Sega. ABACABB, the blood code for the first Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Hell
buddy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Was that not enabled, like natively?
No.
Not on the Super Nintendo.
Not on Sega.
Super Nintendo it was like either white or green blood. I think it was white blood.
Yeah. It looked like sweat, is what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you go into the arcade, oh yeah, it was full graphic
violence. Bloody, bloody, bloody.
It was great.
Yeah, the arcades were
great. Oh yeah.
Oh, good day, good times.
But I guess
I miss the arcades.
So, well, us having three like relative experienced gamers here, if we could cheat code reality, I'm pretty sure one of us by now would hit the right button combinations to be a billionaire. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Unless I have to like walk up to a tree, do like a 360 spin, stop on my right foot and don't forget it, and then like go around town. Like, I don't know. I'm sure that there's some sort of weird combination, but
so the issue is you have to walk into random people's houses and bust open jars to collect bird feathers, and then you have to trade in the bird feathers for the golden ticket. So yeah, we're not doing that.
But which kind of bird feathers? That's the problem.
You don't know until you know.
Oh, fuck.
It's probably going to be shiny. More than likely shiny.
So does anybody have a golden parrot?
Now we just have someone walking into random people's houses and asking if they have bird feathers.
Oh my god. They're going to think I'm a fucking Jehovah's Witness coming up with a book. It's like, no, sir. I ask you a very important question. Don't close the door. Do you have a golden parrot? And then they shut the door like, fuck. I'll never know.
I'm here to talk about your Lord and Savior, Herbie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah, if we can cheat code reality through tactics and techniques like manifestation, psychedelics, or you even using meditation as a sort of console command. Again, using the psychedelics to look at code in the walls, maybe. I would be down to try that one sometime.
What, meditation?
So, no, the psychedelics.
Oh, yeah, fuck it.
I can't calm myself down enough to meditate. The bigger question, again, and I know we already asked this, but it's worth asking again. What happens if we prove it? Does society collapse? Does the sim get shut down? I mean, do people
More than enough. I keep saying there's too many people that would sit there and absolutely reject it. There's people that reject the idea that vaccines are a good thing. So you come out and say, hey, we've proven that life is nothing but a simulation, and we're not technically real, there would be more than enough people to just be like, middle finger, that's not true. And they would absolutely ignore it. So,
you know,
I'll be real, Chief, my bills are still due. So, like,
yeah,
right. I'd be that asshole. Like, you can tell me it's a simulation. I'd say, great, I still got to pay taxes. Like, it doesn't change my life.
Yeah, if this is a simulation, taxes were the worst fucking idea ever. Get rid of that bug.
Right.
If we can go up to a random cabinet, open the door like three times and then beat on the side and a bagel appears inside of it. Gibbs, do you remember that reference from Upload?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then I think we could prove that this is a simulation.
Yeah.
Do you think that's why like some people randomly go missing, is they just clip through the world?
Either they clip through the world or they got disconnected.
User is disconnected.
This isn't AOL.
Yeah.
AOL or Earthlink from back in the day.
Yeah.
Somebody picked up the phone.
User has been disconnected. I will say,
my God.
When my time comes on my headstone, I would like to have logged in and then logged off.
Oh yeah. Like that. That sounds good.
Yeah. So here's a question for you guys and the listeners too. If you knew 100% beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was a simulation, would you change how you live?
No.
No, I wouldn't. However, I would definitely be trying to find a means to contact the admin and go, what the hell? Why don't we have magic?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of bugs in the computer code for humans that I feel like at this point, right, they really should have worked out that they haven't yet.
Yeah.
So, like, why the fuck is it I go into a room and I forgot why the fuck I'm going in there? So then I go back in another room just to remember why I went in the other room. Yeah.
Or the fact that they haven't patched out some of the idiocy that's going on right now.
Yeah.
They need some serious patching going on.
They need to find a way to make stupidity painful. Just period.
Right.
That's probably one of the best things they could do. Yeah. And as it looks like
I'm with that.
this is going to be a much shorter episode, I think, than we thought it was going to be. But I want to kind of bring this up before the episode shuts out. How does it make you feel knowing that at best, and this is, you just take a step back and look at everything, there is a non-zero chance that we are in fact living in a simulation. There is no way to definitively prove or disprove one way or the other. Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson, yes, that sweet, sweet, beautiful chocolate man, recently said in an interview that he puts our odds of living in base reality at, and I quote, 50-50 at best. At best. Not one in hundreds, not one in thousands. Literally a fucking coin flip.
I mean, it doesn't... To say we're living in a simulation, if it's based on a coin flip or not, I mean, whether it's true or not, I don't think it affects your day-to-day life, how you live, the choices you make. At the end of the day, it could be a simulation or not. It really doesn't change our daily function. Because then what you really have to understand is at this point, if we could prove it's a simulation, then truly creation is not of your own doing. You just happen to exist, so might as well make the most of it. You know, might as well do the things you want to do. Don't freak out, because I feel like there's some people that will absolutely lose their goddamn minds.
Oh, yeah.
And those are the people I'm concerned about. But it's possible it could be, it could not be. But, you know, to be fair, 50-50, at best, like saying it's a coin flip, that could be with a lot of things, too. So I... You know,
so what we're saying is anybody with a mental health condition, it just means their data got corrupted.
Basically,
that is a borked install right there.
They need defragged.
They need a reboot at best.
Yes.
Defrag the C drive. Let me tell you.
Yep.
I guess the other thing is if you could prove it's a simulation and get access to the data, you could have a lot of fun with that.
If you could get access to the source code, that would literally make you God.
Yes.
Again, I would totally take that opportunity. Bring magic.
Yes.
I'm a dork. I don't care. I'd do it. The chaos that would ensue would be amazing.
It would be like in the Avatar series. The Legend of Korra, when airbending was unlocked across the world, and all these people could suddenly airbend and didn't know what to do with it or how to use it properly.
So I guess this brings into a discussion then, if you got access to the source code, it could make any changes you were going to make, what would be like the first two or three? What would they be?
Well, the first one, again, I already know what my first one would be. The second one would be like, no ugly people. Everyone would be beautiful. In the eye of the beholder, everybody would be beautiful, no matter what. So anybody that is considered beautiful, they're now average like everyone else. And you're not going to have any more of these basic bitches running around like, well, I'm pretty, so I can do whatever I want. No, guess what? Now you're like everyone else, because everyone else is beautiful now. So guess what? Suck it up, sucker.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe have some fun and make something like Invincible comic. Like the Viltrumites. Make Earth more like Viltrum.
A lot of people died on Viltrumite to get to that point, though. So many deaths. They even admit to the fact to get to where they are, they had to kill a lot of Viltrumites, whatever it's called.
Yeah, you're going to be that Viltrumite that ends up whispering in Mark's ear, but I'm so alone. Are you going to be that guy that just before they absolutely clobber the shit out of people, be like, you know, but they're all scared of me. You know, giving people one little bit of psychological trauma before you murder them to death. Yeah. That's
I think maybe
Conquest. That was his name. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Conquest.
Oh yeah.
I think maybe just making like you said, magic, but maybe making magic mm-hmm. and actual like comic level superpowers real.
Yeah.
I think absolutely. That would at least make things interesting.
Interesting is a word.
Or you end up in a situation where somebody has electric powers, they fall into a pool full of lots of people, and you just create chaos.
No, it's death. It's
and soup.
Yes.
And it's human soup at the same time.
Right. I mean, we all saw The Boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Superpowers, as much fun as they would be, I think most people are way too stupid to be able to handle them. But it would certainly be entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is...
Get the one guy that's angry with laser eye powers. Oh, yeah.
There'd be way too many Homelanders. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The thoughts that go through that character's head.
I still can't look at milk the same way.
No.
Forever ruined. I used to drink a gallon of milk a week. Ever since I watched that show, I haven't barely touched the stuff.
Right.
I can't do it.
Just have to remind yourself it's cow's milk. It's not people milk. That shit's disturbing.
You know, we are, I think, one of the only species on this planet that drinks the milk of another species. Mm. How messed up is that?
Well, we do have instances where, like, kittens and puppies and ducklings and... That's just cute little fuzzy animals.
That's more of a survival situation. We routinely do it for pleasure, essentially. Well, just for consumption.
We've made it into like specialized foods and stuff like that.
We've also bred them to do that. I mean, I don't know how do I say this without getting us canceled? What's easier? If you already know where I'm going with this statement,
uh-huh.
I'll say it's far easier to do with a cow. That's you know, do it the other way, you get a judge involved and a police officer, and it's a little weird deal.
Hey, it could solve some of the jobless situations.
Jesus.
Kids, why are you putting lipstick on that cow, man? What's going on?
Oh my god.
Oh
wow, man.
All you hear is moo.
Moo.
That's not right.
A moo gab.
That's not right. No.
This is devolving
no
like
means no.
This is devolving into the fucking Wookiee porn all over again.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
That was so funny.
Oh jeez. I can't even do that. No.
Sasquatch porn, that's what it was. Sasquatch erotica. Bigfoot erotica. Yeah,
you know, I tried to watch the Sasquatch movie. It was like Sasquatch Rising or Sunrising, whatever. It's supposed to be like a comedy drama type thing mm-hmm. about a family of Sasquatches. Within, what is it, 7 or 8 minutes in, there's two Sasquatches doing it doggy style, while another two are just standing there holding hands watching.
Oh, so they're into voyeurism.
After that was done. Yeah. Wow. I had to turn it off after that.
Okay, so especially question. When,
later on.
Question.
One got his tongue stuck on a rock or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Did the Sasquatch have the red rocket, or did it have like a regular peen?
Don't know. They didn't show that part, thank God. Instead, they showed the one walking away wiping its crotch with leaves.
Nice. Hopefully they weren't poison ivy.
Hopefully not. Or at one point, they're all standing by trees with a big stick, and one would go, ugh, and they'd all start beating on the trees, and I'm like, I gotta turn this off. This is so retarded.
Mm.
I almost did it. Almost did it.
You almost said the no-no.
Almost did it.
You almost $5 in the coin jar. buddy. Oh, man.
Oh, it's a bad gimbal. It's bad.
People have to ask in the background, why is there a cup in the background? It's just called the Hard R cup. It's like, you don't want to know. It has $100 in it.
Yeah.
Not what you think it is.
I'm able to go on vacation.
That's going to be your vacation fund if you're not careful.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to go to work tomorrow and they're going to be like, so what'd you do over the weekend? Well, I pissed off a lot of mentally handicapped people.
Oh, Jesus.
I cannot show my face in public for at least a week. Then they'll forget.
Just give them some Hot Pockets and Diet Pepsi. You'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what were you doing today? Breakfast.
Yeah.
You had to think about that.
Part of the Knights That Say Reline, you know.
That's right.
Gibbs, where are we on merch?
I am simply just observing this chaos. This is just...
And we're not after shrubbery. We're after chocolate chip cookies. Yes.
Okay. Now you have my attention. Maybe some brownies. Maybe some fun brownies. You know, then you're up my alley.
Right.
Now we're talking.
Get those brownies down, you know.
Just
Jesus. I didn't say it, O-Son. I did not say it. I caught myself.
All right, so I think that's going to do it for this episode. We're definitely going to start tracking off if we're not careful. So I think we'll wrap it up here. Show us some love. Don't forget your dubby. Consume 10 for 10% off. Merch coming. Live show end of the summer. And next week, a new show. So anything else, guys?
No, I think.
Oh, wait. Are we doing a show next week? Or, yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah, because Christmas is...
No, it would.
The one after it's probably where we won't, because that would be like the Christmas weekend.
Christmas weekend, yeah. So
yeah.
2 weeks out, we're probably taking a break.
Yeah.
Yes, so. That sounds good.
Sounds good.
So, in the words of a tech sergeant I had in tech school, no glove, no love.
Yes. All right, and with that... We love you all. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we'll see you all next time.